Welcome to DreamPath, BBS Radio Late Night Talk. Here we are once again. It's our fifth show, and do we feel like veterans? I think so. We have a special guest today, Stephen Dabrowski, and we'll be introducing him very, very shortly. You were listening to a song off our CD. The name was Celtic. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be playing another one at break. And what has been very interesting today, Jer and I were on a four-hour healing course with E.T. Ron. It was water-based. We've got seven huge jugs of water each that we will drink each day and become totally enlightened.
I can feel it already.
Yeah, so that's what we've been doing. About an hour ago, it was over. And so here we are, and here we are in the present. Everybody who's listening, it's the best time to listen right at the time that we're doing this, but you can always go to the archive. We have a number of special guests coming up as well throughout March, but here we are. And talk about the present, we have a gentleman by the name of Stephen Dabrowski, and Stephen's the founder and director of Parent College. It's a virtual environment kind of college, and he'll talk more about that, I'm sure. He's been doing this for the last 3 years, enlightening parents and children, and helping parents to raise empowered children. Now, Stephen's ordained light worker, metaphysician, and spiritual psychology teacher. He has a BA in psychology, MA Learning Disabilities at Kent State University, ME Education Administration at Columbia University, and postgraduate studies at the University of Kansas, mainly on behavioral psychology. Now, Stephen's had 25 years experience, special education teacher, and administration family counselor. He's also the director of our Child Growth Center and has been seen on TV discussing ADHD. Now, with all of that, Stephen, I would most certainly like to welcome you to the show. Welcome to DreamPath.
Well, thank you, Dennis. I don't think I can be that good. It sounds better than it is, I think. I want to ask you guys a question because this is... This is late night radio. Is it X-rated?
No, but we have a lot of fun. We like to be impish at times.
I see. Okay.
So if you have that little child inside that wants to come out and play, let it come out.
Oh, I love to do that. Not only do I love to do that, but actually it's through the work that that I've been doing constantly on my inner child, that I think it allows me to really help others access theirs. Of course, you know, I can't really teach anything to anybody, but I can facilitate for them what it feels like for them to do certain things. So, and of course, as adults, right, whether we're a parent or not, as adults, we kind of forget what our inner child is. You know, we spend so much time trying to live life, you know, and we kind of learn that life is difficult and we experience all the hardships. So I think we forget that inner child and how important it is just to go out and play. So I'm so glad to hear that you guys love to play, because so do I.
Well, playing and having fun is certainly a way. We were just talking about enlightenment a little earlier on, and laughing, playing, having fun. I think, don't our kids reflect to ourselves what is important, reflect to ourselves that this is the kind of thing that we need to do at this moment when they come into our lives?
You know, yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Dennis. One of the things that, one of the first things that I always say, and sometimes I get kind of strange looks on parents' faces, is that our kids are our teachers. And but you know, for us in the spiritual community, we know how fast our kids are evolving. And it's so important for us. It's so important for us to, you know, as parents, to really understand that. And I always say that as a parent, our main role, because we could, we don't have to make it so difficult for us, you know. I see our main role as, you know, as really providing a very safe and secure environment, you know, a roof over our head, good food, lots of love, caring, attention, setting limits, stuff like that. But really to watch our kids, be good watchers and listeners. And our kids will tell us what we really need to know, what we really need to teach them. And, you know, it's so important for us to taking on this role to understand that our kids need to journey along their own path. It's, you know, it's we kind of have to see a separation between us and our kids that way, that, that you know, the old paradigm is in that, you know, we are learning, we have learned from our parents, our role models, which is perfectly okay. But I think in this new paradigm, which I call it, that it's really providing the space for our kids to journey along their own path.
Yeah, it certainly does. And listening to your kids, I know that for me it's very important to actually respond when one of my children are asking me for something, because it's usually at that time that's, you know, when it's important. And even if I'm doing something that I think is really, you know, like, what are you asking me at this time for? I need to stop and go, just a minute. Because they, you know, they don't always ask. They, you know, they do different things. But when they do ask, I think that's an important time to actually respond. Is this something that you feel is a way of at least one of the ways?
Well, you know, our kids ask us all the time, right? Because, you know, for the first 7 years of a child's life, there are no filters on our brain, so they are just human sponges. They, you know, that's how they learn. You know, so we just learn. We're very perceptive. We're very keen. We're very observant. Whether we know it or not, you know, the kids are just picking up everything, everything that that's within their environment. So, yeah, they're going to be asking us all these questions, right? And from that, you know, from your point of view, Dennis, what you were saying is that it's important for us to really, you know, understand that, and, you know, and be as objective as possible, you know, with their questions. Make sure, you know, we have to be careful not to impose maybe our own values, where we have come from. Because, you know, one of the things is, and we're going to be talking about this a little bit later on in the show, is that we all have a life lesson. And that life lesson is something that is that keeps on recurring in our life, that causes us, you know, causes some discomfort. You know, it keeps on happening, and we say, well, okay, there it goes again. What, you know, it makes us feel really bad. But our kids are really there to mirror for us some aspect of our life lesson. So it's very important for us to be really, really good observers and very good listeners.
What would be the percentage of children that would have the same life lesson as their parents, or are they coming in with a different life lesson that's being reflected back to the parents, or is it sort of like you know, following a pattern throughout the family?
They come in with their own life lesson. You know, there's 12 life lessons, and we all choose a different one to work on in this lifetime. So, yeah, in answer to that question, they come in with their own individual ones. So, but we're always acting out ours, right, all the time. So just based upon how we're acting out, they're going to mirror back to us, you know, what is going on with us. And that's why we have to be very keen observers, because one of the things about our life lesson as a parent or as an individual is that we're kind of blind to it. So initially we can't see it. So we act it out. When we're confronted with it, we may get angry. We may go into denial, you know, kind of run away and stuff like that. But as it continues to happen and repeats itself, I call it like, you know, I visualize it as a red flag that, you know, if we're standing on a stage and this red flag is just passing us by, how aware are we of it? So if we become aware of what that life lesson is, then we grab onto that red flag and say, okay, now I'm going to do something about it. But we have free choice. So we may notice that red flag, and it can continue to go by us, and we'll just continue living our life. But that red flag is going to pass us by again, and we'll have another choice of whether or not we choose to.
And then since you're helping people to identify their own red flags, as it were, or assist them in finding that for themselves.
We have to be open to wanting to do it. You know, part of this work, and I know maybe we've gotten a little bit off the track, from Parent College, and we'll get back to it. But we become aware that there is, we're all on different levels of our life lesson. It happens on many different levels. And this life lesson we cannot cure, so we cannot make it go away, but we can master it. So what I mean by mastering is that we can, as we develop tools on how to deal with this issue, like it could be we attract master manipulators into our life. We attract these people that we just end up manipulating us all the time. And at the end of the where a particular experience, we'll say to ourselves, "My God, you know, we feel so disempowered." And we feel so bad, we feel kind of tiny, and we say, what can I do about this, or not? You know, sometimes we'll say, okay, it just happened again, and it'll continue to happen. But as it continues to happen, we'll reach a level of I call it pain. You know, we all go through this. We reach a level of that pain where we say, I'm going to do something about it this time, and we go and we search for tools that help us deal with it. So the better we become at dealing with it, the better masters we become at dealing with this particular life lesson. In this case, it's allowing for others to manipulate us.
Now your life lesson plan is something that I feel is very near and dear to your heart. But I'd like to introduce our listeners to sort of the development of, in many ways, of how it got to this, and that you're still involved in things like Parent College. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you, they can do so at allaboutyourchildren.com. Is that correct?
www.allaboutyourchildren.com. That's my website for Parent College. And they can email me at Stephen. That's with a PH, STEPHEN, at familyground.com.
And now, also, I mean, when you're doing things, I was talking earlier in the show about how this can all be done live on the computer, as it were.
Through your college.
You've taken it on, an internet radio show, and you're doing such a great job with it. I have my own internet radio show, which is called Parent College Radio. I'm here in Las Vegas right now. I've been here since October, but I've recently moved from Toronto, which is where you guys are at, and I had my own internet radio show there, in a live studio. So I used to broadcast twice a week, and there would be any issues that would have to deal with families and parenting and kids, anything that dealt with parenting. We talked a lot about advocacy. One of the issues, one of the difficult things that we as parents have is knowing how to advocate for our kids. And to advocate is pretty simple. It means to be able to, first to be aware and recognize and to educate yourself as to the issues that are going on in your children's life. But it also means standing up for yourself. And that's you know, linked to quite a few life issues. And we have difficulty standing up for ourselves and taking stands and really speaking up. You know, for some reason, you know, we have to practice that. We have to work on that. So we talked a lot about advocacy. You know, how to advocate for your child, you know, as a parent, where to advocate. You know, we talk about our educational system and the needs of it. And, you know, we talked a lot about that, you know, that there were so many needs in the educational system in Ontario. But even here in Las Vegas, you know, I'm working with the local school district here, and they have so many needs as well. So the only way, you know, we talk about the problems and issues that our kids are having in their schools, but advocacy is really mobilizing, working with parent-teacher associations, working with the schools, getting groups of parents together. And discussing what changes are needed, you know, what changes are needed in the curriculum, what changes are needed in the school, you know, how to create a better educational system, how to really develop better programmings for our kids with special needs. And so that's what advocating really means. To advocate is to get together. You want to change something. The only way to change something is to allow others to hear your voice. And the more voices that are out there, the quicker the changes are going to be, because actually the educational system that we're living in is behind the times. It is, the educational system comes from the old paradigm, but it's like, you know, it's like a train. You know, once a train just, you know, starts moving at 70, 80, 90 miles an hour, it's hard to stop. And this, of course, this goes with everything in life, but we're talking about our educational system here. And our educational system is going down the track at 90 miles an hour the old way, and it's kind of, and it doesn't fit in anymore with our new students. It doesn't fit in anymore with the needs of the family. So the only way to create change is for people like you and myself, really, to get out there and advocate, to tell, you know, explain, teach, you know, just, you know, use our passion to get people out there to say, okay, these are the changes you want in your school system, then you have to go for it. You have to take a greater responsibility in the education of your kids if you want to see them get a more enriched education. I think I was a little long-winded, wasn't I?
Oh, that's marvelous, and it's so true. And I've seen pockets of that here where parents are involved. It does make a difference. There is communication between the system and so on. And as you say, it goes 90. I mean, it's just going along the track, and I've observed that too. I mean, school hasn't changed much in all the years that have gone by. In fact, maybe it's even slowing down. Yet we have kids who are miles. They're in another place. And I think you've discussed this in a number of. Well, you have two books that you've written. One of them is There Is No Magic, which you can, I believe, purchase online. And
you can get it on Amazon.
Pardon me?
Yes, you can get it on Amazon.com, or you can always get it through me. I'm developing.
Great.
I had distributors in Canada when I was there, but now that I'm here, I'm getting a new distributor. As a matter of fact, when my second book comes out in about, I'd say about 4 to 6 weeks, then I will have a new distributor here. So then, people always can get the book through me at stephen@familyground.com.
Stephen, you've got several programs, 8-week programs that you're doing with parents that you're offering on the internet.
Well, I'm not quite offering them on the internet yet. I'm doing live, you know, like live workshops, and
these are workshops.
These are workshops.
So, now, is that how? Because this is, I'll tell everybody here who's listening that we met Stephen here in Toronto when we were doing a or organizing a conference in the Hockley Valley, and Stephen brought guests on the show, and we found out more about what you're doing. We also attended the Fire Circle at Isla's, and we had a lot of fun together. Then we didn't hear from you, and you were down in Vegas, and all of these wonderful things that transpired. You were invited there to teach the teachers, in a sense, or to help people be better coaches, I think, things like that. Am I following the right track on this? Or?
Yeah, you are. One of the things that I've developed, Dennis, is a training program for parents. And not only for parents, but also I've developed a training program for teachers and any caregiver that deals with families and kids. And the whole program is designed to create a lot of awareness, and it offers the parent or teacher an opportunity to change their practice, because everything that we do in life is a practice. You know, we get up in the morning, and you know, we follow a routine in the morning. You know, that takes us through a day. That's a practice. You know, we go to work and we have a routine at work. That's a practice. We start smoking, right? And you know, and we do our smoking thing. That's a practice. Everything that we do in life is our behaviors that develop that we really become. And we use the word addiction because once we start doing things, and it doesn't take very long, and we start doing the same thing, then it just becomes a pattern, and that in itself is an addiction. So actually, what this program does, it offers the caregiver and teacher and parent to develop new habits and cycles within their daily routine, not only as parents but also as individuals, but also as parents working with their kids. And actually, the whole program, it's really not that difficult, but it is difficult because it's asking us to become aware of certain things that we have become addicted to, and we find, and the most difficult thing in life is to change something to change something. Even though we may know that it's good for us, it is our mind is amazingly, that's what our mind is for. It's really there to keep us in the status quo. So it really prevents us. It really creates all this resistance to bring in a new positive change in your life. And what this program does, it really focuses on us as the individuals, because really for us to change the nature of our family, really to become better or more effective parents, we have to look at ourselves. And what this program does, it allows us to be able to look at our obstructions, those things that are not allowing us to do what we want to do, those things that allows us that brings up resistance. And actually, resistance is one of our obstructions that we have. You know, fear is another obstruction. You know, there's a few of them. And what it does is it shows us the power of our mind, really the power of our thought. And you know, like mm-hmm. I'm not creating any new wheels here. You know, there's so many people. It's growing by leaps and bounds every day that are talking about this, the power of our thought. And we think about something and then we do it. So in order to change something, we have to change the way we think about something. So and to do that, we have to practice that. So to create change, we have to implant new thoughts within our mind and practice those new thoughts. And that's not so easy sometimes.
That's not so easy, but at least from my observation, you have 8 weeks in which to practice change.
You have a whole lifetime.
You have. You do.
Yeah, the program only facilitates
yes.
for them. You know, the process. So that's the first step in the whole process. Then there are some other amazing steps like really understanding what our dominant lifestyle or our management style is, you know, our dominant parenting style, also the temperaments of our kids, also the learning style of who we are, and what is our dominant learning style is, what our dominant learning styles for our kids are. And once we know this information, then we can change, we can create a whole new action plan of the way we deal with our kids. And not only can we do that, but we can also be better teachers to our teachers in school, you know, create a better partnership with our teachers in school. So we can go to the teacher in school and say, okay, my child is a visual learner, right? My child is a visual and kinesthetic. Kinesthetic means, you know, it means touching, right? So there are four main modalities for learning: visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and movement. And actually, we learn through all four of those modalities all the time. For the first 7 years of life, this is how we learn. I'm getting over a cough. One of the things that our schools do is that they dominantly teach through the auditory. So that there's a teacher, and they present a lesson, and so the student, as a student, we're there. We hear something, and then we're asked to say it, to repeat it, or we're asked to write it. But kids don't learn that way. Kids learn through visual and kinesthetic and movement, and so we have to make sure that as an educational system, that as a teacher, that we incorporate all those four modalities within our teaching.
And then it does seem that schools move further and further away from that and define it into almost one aspect of learning, maybe a very high part of it, but missing the other pieces, as it were, so that the experience, because, I mean, we were talking to David Aubrey Berger, about his book, The Power of the Circle, and his way of educating and working with people is through actually experiencing that for themselves, having, especially working out in a natural environment, nature teaching you and so on, and some very simple exercises that really work well, because the student actually gains some self-knowledge from whatever that practice is. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that your efforts are designed so that you can bring that awareness to people and of all walks of life, and so that they are aware how important this is, how this continues on, that habits are formed and you know, everything, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Well, it's kind of broke.
Yeah.
And it's not fix it, it's time to do something in another way, in a totally different way. And it seems to me that this is what you're helping people to achieve in some ways. And again, they need to want to do it, right?
They need to want to do it. And that's where all this resistance thing comes into play. You know, when we're asked to, because we don't necessarily want to do it. You know, our mind, our spirit really doesn't want to do this. We have to force ourselves. We have to keep on walking forward and taking those steps. If we know that there's something that we need to work on, the first thing our mind is going to say, well, no, we don't want to go there. And that's the first red flag in terms of the fact that we have to go there. And to do that, we have to, it's like pushing a revolving door, right? Or, you know, pushing a door where there's somebody on the other side that's pushing against us as we're trying to open it or trying to pull the door closed. So we have to really really make an effort in order to move forward. But as we do it, it's guaranteed that if we do it, then we will make the necessary changes that we need to.
Now, you also bring up things like the importance of nutrition. I mean, there's many aspects that you bring up, but this is another one, that proper nutrition really helps to bring a balance to a person, because they can live life more fully, and they're better able to deal with their own resistance to things, because they're more aware. And nutrition's a big factor in that, I think, isn't it?
It's huge, Dennis. It's really huge. You know, one of the things, especially when dealing with advocacy and what's going on with kids today, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is ADHD, attention deficit and hyperactive disorder. This is a huge spectrum that's going on and it is increasing again by leaps and bounds. And one of the issues here is that we're identifying kids as having attention deficits much too quickly. And what's happening is that as we label them, then we're giving them medication. And one of the whole reasons why I wrote There Is No Magic is, you know, people will say, oh my God, you know, how can you say there is no magic? You know, like, how can you believe there is no magic? What's wrong with you? Well, I like to believe there is magic just as much as anybody else, but I believe that we have to do the work. And when we do the work, then magic manifests in front of our eyes. You know, once we do the work, it's, you know, where did that come from? That's magic. And what's happening again with medication and ADHD and all that is that nutrition plays a huge role in it. And the reason why I wrote the book was to give parents alternatives, holistic alternatives to deal with, rather than being asked to put their child on medication, because so many parents are being coerced. You know, I don't like to use that word, but they're saying, you know, unless you put your child on medication because they're just not learning at school, we can't handle them, whatever, then they just can't be here, right? And they put a lot of pressure on parents.
Yeah.
And what happens is that a parent becomes psychologically addicted to Ritalin or Xylert or any of these drugs that deal with ADHD after one pill, because it most definitely works. You know, the kids will become more aware. You know, they will slow down. They may be able to learn better. But There Is No Magic is all about alternatives, and it's been proven that if you exercise before, you know, going to class, or exercise before doing homework, that the exercise, the 20 or 30 minutes of aerobic exercise, will produce the exact same chemicals in our brain that the Ritalin does for the exact same amount of time. And nutrition,
wow.
And nutrition, you know, we can talk about that if you want to a little bit more, but you know, there's
we will. And I just want to remind our listeners that we are taking calls. If anyone would like to speak with Stephen about what we've been talking about so far, in the U.S. it is toll free at 1-877-270-8714. For everyone else, including Canada and all the rest of the world, it's 530-413-4515. And you're listening to Dream Path. Our guest is Stephen Dabrowski, and he's talking to us about all kinds of wonderful things about how we can communicate better, how we can be better parents, how we can get over or see the blockages that are preventing us from moving forward. And we were just talking about nutrition, and I certainly know just from, you know, glancing at some of your work that keeps on coming up, nutrition, nutrition, nutrition. Go ahead, Stephen. I think this is one of your favorite topics.
Well, I'm not a nutritionist, but I feel like I've become one because when I was doing my radio show in New York, in Toronto, I had numerous amount of people that were on that knew a lot about nutrition, and I came up with different remedies and alternatives for families. So I learned so much about it. But you know, like it's so important, and you know. Anybody who wants to learn about this, you know, we don't have to spend that much on it, but anybody who wants to learn about this, all they have to do is go on the internet and just Google nutrition and ADHD, you know, food and ADHD, alternatives and ADHD, and there's so much information out there. One of the biggest things is essential fatty acids. These are healthy These are healthy fats. Our brain is made up of 60% of fats. And fats, yes. Our brain is made up of 60% worth of fats, yes. And they start off as healthy fats, right? But because of all the processed foods out there and all the trans fats that we eat, well, these healthy fats, these essential fatty acids, what happens is that they get replaced by these fats that really clog up the nerve endings in our brain. So that, you know, because our brain is like an electrical conductor. So what's most important is, you know, drinking lots of water. And what happens with these unhealthy fats is that it does not allow the electrical process to work so well. So it just doesn't function, and the brain gets sluggish and stuff, and it's just horrible if we can just visualize what's going on there. So what the essential fatty acids do is that they replace, you know, when we can replace these all these trans fats with healthy fats, then we can think a lot clearer. We can have longer attention spans. And essential fatty acids, the word essential in essential in anything means that our body does not provide that particular mineral or vitamin. So we have to take it in as a supplement. So or we have to eat it. Like, there's a lot of essential fatty acids in salmon and tuna and cod. There's a lot of essential fatty acids in green leafy vegetables, right? We can get, you know, really good supplements, you know, that have essential fatty acids in it right now to supplement our diet. So it's, you know, I don't want to make this a nutrition class, but it's so important for us to recognize what it is to have a healthy diet. And there again creates another problem, because in my workshops, you know, when I start talking, because I'll devote a whole evening to nutrition and the effects that nutrition has, and you know, I find that these people out in the audience, they know just as much or more than I do about nutrition. So I'm just like perplexed. I'll stand back and I'll say, well, okay, so listen, you guys know so much. What is, you know, what's going on? And they say, well, you know, Johnny doesn't want to eat this or that, or he only wants to eat macaroni and cheese or hamburgers or stuff like this. or they'll only eat potato chips and stuff like this. So I'll say, well, what happens if you just don't have it in your house? And they'll say, well, it'll create havoc in the house. So parents find it so difficult. You know, parenting is such a difficult job, and I know all you guys as parents, you're doing a great job, but we find it so difficult to make these changes. Even though we know what we need to do, we don't do it because we're afraid of the reactions that our kids are going to have. We're afraid to take stands. In There Is No Magic, I talk about three things. That if we can be firm, if we can be consistent, and if we can be loving, then we can accomplish anything we want within our family. And the hardest thing that as a parent we face is to be firm and consistent. And the reason being is because this is something that we have to look at. One of the first priorities is really look at within ourselves and ask us, why can I not take a stand? Because if we cannot take a stand with our child and our family, then we cannot take stands in many, many other areas in our life. So this becomes a major aspect that we started earlier in the show of a life lesson, right? That this is what we need to work on. And one of the we're insecure about this. We're afraid to stand up for ourselves. We're afraid that if we're going to, you know, we're going to take a stand, a healthy stand. You know, we're not yelling and screaming at our kids or creating havoc, because we don't have to yell and scream. We can do this very calmly, you know, very calculated. If we can, you know, if we're afraid to do this because, believe it or not, it is my experience, and I mean, there may be a lot of people out there that are listening that may not agree with me, but we have such a difficult time setting limits for our kids because we're afraid they will not love us. we're afraid they will not like us. And
right.
that is a huge, one of the hugest pitfalls that we face, because our kids are about unconditional love. We are about unconditional love. Because of this small yet very big thing, we forget. We set up a behavior pattern within ourselves that every time we set a limit, we're trying to set a limit with our kids, that we will not set that limit because we're afraid our kids are not going to love us. So the issue is that we have to become aware of that. You know, the nanny, what is her name?
The nanny?
She has a TV show?
Oh,
I can't remember her name.
And there's a lot of there are nanny shows out there. And if you watch the nanny shows, I mean, I love it because if you
they
watch
the limits.
Because that's the first thing they tell the moms and dads. The kids are screaming and yelling and scratching and biting and all this stuff. And the nanny says, Super Nanny says, you have to set limits. You have to stick with them. You don't have to yell and scream and go ape and whatever and give them a pat on their behind or whatever. You don't have to do that. You have to set limits for them. Because when you don't set limits, they want us, believe it or not, they want us to set limits. They are not safe. They do not feel so safe when they don't set limits. Their world is not so safe, so then they begin acting out. But when we can provide those limits for them, we're automatically making their world in a lot safer place. So if we can just do that one thing, be firm, consistent, and loving, those three things, then we will change the nature of our family.
Oh, family wisdom. And we're coming halfway to our show, and there certainly is magic in what you're saying, in what you're saying, in that family wisdom will be introducing some other aspects to that. There is no magic. Certainly lets parents know. And I think it's very interesting, the concept that you're talking about, of setting limits, and how by setting limits it actually creates a climate that children feel safe in. So that's wonderful. What we're going to do at this time, and Michelle, this is your cue, we're going to play a song, and it's called Magic. And if the cue is right, the song will come on now.
Thank you.
You're listening to Dream Path on BBS Radio Late Night Talk. My name is DJ, and our guest this evening is Stephen Dabrowski. We've been talking about a book that is published, There Is No Magic. And what I also would like to talk about, because family life, a big part, big transition happens when our lovely children,
Daddy, I love you, I love you,
turn into teenagers. And then it's a whole new ball of wax. Would you like to talk about that a bit? I know you do work in that area.
Well, I'd love to talk about that, Dennis. But before I do, I'd like to say something about Dream Path. I think that there is there's so much synergy between Dream Path, you know, following your dreams, creating a journey, creating your path, and the family. Because we all, you know, we're all searching. We all want to have a family, right? We grow up. We grow up, you know, from little kids. You know, we're looking at our mommies and daddies, and we become a little older and we become teenagers. And, you know, one of our major priorities, even before a career and stuff, is really to have other kids, to have your own family, right? To know what it's like to have other kids, to be able to be teachers to your kids, you know, to be able to continue what the family represents, you know. And family is a community, is its own community. But even though it's most families are as we know it now, is mommies and daddies, and you know, maybe one or two kids, or you know, right now there's a lot of single families, right? Single parent families. But there's more to the family community than just that. You know, there is our extended family community, and one of the things we are forgetting what that extended family community can do for our dream path, right? For our family. And if our moms and dads are not here, or grandparents are not there, then there are friends and neighbors, you know, because they have their families as well. So it's so important for us as families. It's so important for us to continue, you know, this dream, this happy days dream. You know, I'm from the 60s, right? So Happy Days is one of my favorite shows. But, you know, that type of mentality where the dream was, you know, 2.5 kids, a couple of cars, a house, you know, something, you know, good food and stuff. You know, this is, believe it or not, it is a dream that we all have. And because, you know, and I don't think that we're very far away from that dream. You know, we're talking about deficiencies and not willing to change and this and that and being unhappy and drama in our lives and all that stuff. We are not that far away from this, from having this dream. We can all create very harmonious and happy environment. You know, things change. We are continually evolving. And this is what wisdom in the family is all about. It's helping to really, for us to really, because one of the life lessons, one of the major, major lessons in life is for us to take responsibility for who we are. That's not a negative thing. This is not bad. When somebody says you're not, we learn that when somebody says you're not being responsible, that is really, you know, that's a negative thing. It's not a negative thing. It's a very positive thing, because as we take more responsibility for who we are, and that doesn't mean that we are selfish, because if we cannot learn and understand who we are and take responsibility for who we are, then it'll be harder for us to create this dream path for our family. So my whole facilitation, my whole thing, you know, you mentioned before, Jara, about my passion, because this is my passion. You know, there's really nothing else in my life except really being able to, you know, to pass on this message that for us to, the greater amount of effort that we put into ourselves of who we are, really that we are very, we're loving, we're gentle, we're good people, you know, that do these things, you know, and focus on being in the present, being in the now, then to be able to create the family that we want, this dream path, this happiness, this harmony with our family will be easier. So that's all I have to say about that for now.
Oh, beautiful.
Well said. One of the things that I heard you say in the past, and I won't be quoting you quite exactly, but it really hit home with me, was zeroing in on your children or your teens' strengths and not the weaknesses, and making an adjustment to the family lifestyle in order that that passion within that child or teen is brought to fruition. It really hit home with me because I did not come from a family like that. My teachers did not understand my strengths. They were trying to push me in an opposite direction. And, God, if I only had someone like you around, Stephen, it wouldn't have taken me 50 years to find out that my life lesson is I have no direction.
Well, believe it or not, it took me that long for me to be able to find this out. So don't feel so bad. Just know that everything happens for a reason, and everything happens in its own time. And what's important is not that it took so long, is that you have become aware of it, so you can make the changes within your life. And as you make the changes within your life, then you know this is one of the reasons why you guys are doing this show. That you're bringing on, you're bringing on other people that can help facilitate this for others, but that's the reason why you're doing that. As you're becoming more aware of it and you're dealing with it, then you are able to bring this out in your radio show. That's one of the great things and most beautiful things of what you guys are doing.
And it will grow.
And
we
it will grow.
Changed.
Yes.
In 3 months, and we just hope we continue to have wonderful people as guests, as you.
Well, it has been a wonderful experience too, Stephen, because, growth is, once you get to the other side, because you do have to, there is work, and there is that focus, and there is that desire and passion. All those different elements come into it.
Right.
And when it begins to open up, then all kinds of new things do come into your life, and there is a place made for it. And I should mention to all our listeners, I was saying earlier, Family Wisdom, the name of the new book is Wisdom in the Family. And Wisdom in the Family comes in many different forms. And would you like to talk about some of those? Would you like to discuss it any further?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we have been talking about what wisdom in the family is. You know, it has a lot to do with allowing, with allowance and surrender. It has a lot to do with really understanding the power of our mind, like we were talking about before, the power of our ego, how we allow our ego to interfere with really our dream path. So the wisdom is in recognizing that these are the obstructions that are not allowing you to do what you want to do. So as I was saying, in Wisdom in the Family, that's the first thing I talk about. I talk about something that I call thunder and lightning. And thunder and lightning are seven aspects of our behavior, and it happens. I call it thunder and lightning because it happens just as fast as we turn on a light switch. And there are seven aspects there. I'll just go through them very quickly. There is attachment. You know, the first thing that we do is we see something, we become attached to it. Once we become attached to it, we want it more and more, so we desire it. If this desire is not satisfied, we become angry. And as it continues, the fourth part is we become confused. That means our minds, we start spinning around in our mind. And after we become confused, then we become, we actually lose our memory, where we only become single focused on what that particular thing is going on in our life at the moment. And the last part is, once that happens, then we are like a caged animal. We are ruined. And I'll use that word ruined because we are. Anybody that goes through, and if you can identify, I'm sure we all go through it every day. And the purpose of this is to teach people that we all go through thunder and lightning every day, and that we can stop. We can stop that process at any time and change it, right? So, you know, it could be anything. It could be, you know, somebody could say the wrong word. Somebody could say, could be very innocent and say, you know, I didn't like the way you did that. And right away you'll feel like a piece of garbage. You know, you'll feel horrible. And and that process runs through your whole being as fast as thunder and lightning. So and that has to do with our self-esteem and our self-confidence, right? So so to work on that is to be able to first to be aware of what presses that button, and then to work to, you know, to change that thought pattern. So that's the first thing that we talk about in Wisdom in the Family.
Allowing
and surrendering, realizing that we need to work on certain things in life, and to know that and to surrender to that as they come up, and that because all of us who do this work, and there are so many of us that are doing this work, we have alternatives already, we have tools. Well, the purpose of this is to be able to use those tools in order to change this way of thinking. That's really allowing us to move. Like, we may take a step forward and then thunder and lightning will hit, and we'll move backwards. You know, there's a reason why we're talking about the now, being in the now. Everybody's talking about being in the now, because our expectations serve us no purpose whatsoever. You know, when we try to be something that we're not, we can never bring that into our lives, right? Because we're not being in our bodies. We're not being in the moment. When we're worried about something that happened in the past, and we're beating ourselves up because of something that happened in the past, then we cannot be the best that we can be in the moment. We have to, you know, somebody keeps on telling me, you know, my own mentor, you know, my advisor, every time I stray, they say, you know, just do the best that you can be in the moment. And this is not something that we hear about this all the time. The new paradigm is so simple. The new paradigm, which is what we talk about in Wisdom in the Family, is that life, parenting is about life. And what is life? But life is about experience. And once we experience something, the beauty of life, because we can do this over and over again, is that we can make adjustments based upon the decisions that we make. So it's not a bad decision or a great decision or a good decision. It's just a decision. This is our discernment, and that once we decide something, we become better observers and watchers, then we can look to change something based upon an experience, right? Not something about something that's gone on in the past.
Yeah,
well, I don't know if I was really clear with that.
No, very clear, and being able to act on the experience that you're having now, and making a decision to, and even if it's the wrong one, let's say, you can change that, you can adjust that, because you know why. You know?
That's right, because that's what life is all about. Life is just an experiment. I always say life is a game board. Life is just it's all about practicing. And if we're able to view that, you know, to have that view, that has to become a thought pattern, that has to become a habit. We have to believe that life is just practice, and you know, there's, you know, it doesn't serve our purpose to be so serious and get caught up in all the drama with it, right? It's just about practice. And the cover of my book is going to be a game board. So it's Wisdom in the Family, and it's going to be a game board, and there's going to be a family, you know, playing on the game board, because life is just about practice. Practice, practice, practice. If you look at the people that are making millions and millions of dollars, are the people that we think of as superstars, right? Our athletes and our movie stars and whomever. These people, they practice. They practice 12, 14, 15 hours a day at what they do, right? For us, as you know, to create harmony in the family, we don't, what we do is we follow what we have learned in the past, the old paradigm. The new paradigm is to look at it as an experiment, as this is what life is, and to make the best of the decisions. And if you don't like the decisions that you make, to try something new, right? That's what parenting is all about. It is really simple, right? Yet it's the hardest job in the world. But in one aspect, in another aspect, it is so simple. I was blessed with this. This is something, I guess, that I was born with. But I always knew that. I have two daughters. And I always knew that mine was just to love my kids. Just to love my kids in a very natural, unconditional way. As a matter of fact, they really taught me about unconditional love. My second daughter, Chelsea, taught me about unconditional love. And that the main purpose is to allow them to be who they are. And we're just not taught that. That's the old paradigm that we have to make our kids into us, this issue of control and whatever that means. And because we do that, we make life a lot more complex for us. We're talking about teenagers and communicating with teenagers. We go through several stages in life. Well, we come to the stage of being a teenager. And a teenager's natural way, it's like this is innate, it's part of their DNA, that they have to go out and experiment, right? They have to go out, they have to be rebellious. They have to be hostile, right? Because they're searching for independence. Yet they still have the same needs that we do. They have to know that they're being accepted. They have to know that they're being listened to, right? And that they have to know that they are respected. And one of the problems that we get into is because, and they are perfectly mirroring, our teenagers are amazing beings, because they are mirroring back to us what's going on in our lives, our self-esteem. Because we get into one of the four parenting styles or lifestyles is authoritarian, and the teenager presses our authoritarian button, because we'll say we want you home a certain time, or we want you to do this, or we want you to do that, and they're not supposed to do that. Their purpose is to be rebellious, and
yeah.
Except we either don't understand it or we forget that. So we get into these battles with them. So, the object is really more to be, first, to be more compassionate, more understanding, more accepting, more being able to listen to them. Even though they will say they don't want to listen to us, they are listening to us. Mark my words, they are. They will know that you are respecting them and accepting them for who they are, because this is what they're asking for. And just by doing that, Dennis and Jara, then we can change the nature of the relationship that we have with our teenager over those 5 or 6 or 7 years. Because let me tell you something, there is no bottom to that pit. If we continue to pursue that battle with our teenager will take it as far as it can go. There is no bottom. And actually, I've seen relationships with teenagers and their parents where, these are kids that are into drugs, and they will walk out of the house and they will not come back. We will do what we have learned, or we may say tough love with them, and they'll tell us where to go, and they will not come back.
Yeah.
And then we'll say, my God, what did I do here? And we'll feel all this guilt and stuff like this. So that doesn't work. But we have such a difficult time not being that authority figure. Not surrendering to the fact of this is who our teenagers are. They are a person, and this is what their needs are in this stage of life. So wisdom in the family is all about that. And working towards that, because it's not easy. If we're conditioned to be this authority figure, it's going to take a lot of work on our part to change that. It's not
right.
that we're doing anything wrong, but we are conditioned to act that way. And that's where the work and the practice comes in the family.
Right. Changing, moving, adjusting, that's life. And you're listening to Dream Path on BBS Radio Late Night Talk. My co-host is Jera Lynn Ramden, and I'm DJ. We're talking with Stephen Dabrowski. His book, Family Wisdom in the Family, soon to be available in 3 to 4 or 5 weeks. And I'd like to come up to something that is really close to your heart right now, and that's a life lesson program that you're developing at this time. Would you like to talk about that a bit? Well, you have.
Actually, thanks, Dennis. I've been thinking about this for a while, but I just created it last week, or within 2 weeks. When did I send you the questionnaire, Jera?
I think it was about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, about a week ago, right. And but, you know, times are moving very quick now, so like within a week, you know, it's like I can't believe how far I've come with this. But
I know what you mean when you say I can't believe how fast that, or how far you've come within a week and a half. I understand the feeling. Go ahead.
Things are moving so quick. It's absolutely amazing, and it's beautiful. For those of us, you know, we're all doing the work, but for those of us who are in that place, we know. We realize how quickly things are moving. It's absolutely amazing. And this life lesson will help facilitate our journey and path. We all have one life lesson. And this, you know, for all your spiritual listeners out there, because this is a spiritual station, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right then. It's acceptant. It's accepting that people can accept the fact, and not think that we're crazy, when we say that we have created this life lesson, this plan for us, and how we're going to work on our life lesson prior to really being incarnated in this life. Are you guys there?
Yes, we're here. Yes.
Okay.
And
we choose a life lesson to work on. Okay, and this life lesson is, you know, there are 12 of them. And there will be people and experiences that will continue to come up in our life that will be there to show us that we need to practice our life lesson. And as we become more aware of what this life lesson is, then we are better. it will automatically create a different space for us in our life, automatically, because working to master this life lesson, knowing what it is, will automatically guarantee, this is a guaranteed thing, will empower us in a way that we never could have imagined. And the only way that I could speak those words is because it has happened to me.
You've experienced.
I have personally, 2 years ago, you know, I did this workshop, spiritual psychology, you know, I did this process where I became an ordained minister. And
yes.
It was all about these 12 life lessons. But of course, things are moving quicker and quicker. And over the last few months, it seems like I've been working on all 12 of them, you know, but it was through the working on my main one, which is, you know, one of them happens to be trust, you know, trusting in myself, right?
Right.
Because, you know, as a child, you know, usually trust usually comes up when, you know, as a child you've been taken advantage of, you know. And actually everything is okay, everything is perfect, right? It's all good because, you know, this person was supposed to do exactly what they did in order for me to live my life lesson. And the other one was, you know, really creating boundaries and setting boundaries for myself, definition. So as I began to master those life lessons, because, yes, you work on one main life lesson, but you could also have a secondary one, you know, and in these times, the energy that's going on right now, the divine and spiritual energy, many of us are working on a secondary life lesson as well. And as I became aware of it and started and working on them using the tools that I have and become better and better and better at it, I cannot tell you what has transpired in my life. You know, not in the financial, any financial means, you know, but this is really at a soul level. You know, the changes.
Yes.
The changes. It's like I experienced joy. It's like I now know what unconditional love is. I never knew that before 2 years ago. I never even knew. I was always searching for it. You know, I was always searching for it everywhere, in every corner in life, through every other person. I always was looking for someone to take responsibility for me. And of course it didn't work, right? So I was never good at anything. You know, I was always unhappy. I was always depressed. It's absolutely amazing. Now that I've worked on that, where there was no space in my heart for unconditional love, I never even knew what it was. Now there is this huge space in my heart that's filled with joy. And no matter what happens in my life, because, you know, I'm a fragile being, just like everybody else, I'm vulnerable. And I will react to that. But that joy will never, ever go away. It can never be replaced. It is this, and I will talk, you know, anybody who has this or who knows this, understands what I'm talking about, anybody working towards this, who knows what this feeling of joy is in their heart, they know that you can never go back. It can never be replaced. And this is what this life lesson program is all about. This life lesson program will, you know, it's made up of four parts, right? But it will make you totally aware of what your life lesson is. And then, and that's all done, you know, gratuit. You know, it's free. The questionnaire, once you fill out the questionnaire, it will identify what your life lesson is, guaranteed. And after that becomes your choice. I have a consultation with the person, and then after that consultation, I will work on a life lesson program, a prescription plan for that life lesson for that person, and it will involve many aspects of their life that they may work on. That's the third part, and the fourth part is a consultation 30 to 60 days after that to see how they're doing. And then after that, well, you know, anything goes. But this life lesson program, and there's nothing like this that exists that I know of. It may, you know, there may be, but that I know of in this universe, this life lesson will change your life remarkably. It's amazing. And I'm just so thankful because, you know, of course, you know, I have been given this to be able to, you know, to be the messenger and facilitate for others. So I'm just so thankful that I'm able to be able to talk about this with you guys. And I'm in the process of...
Yeah. So if anyone would like to pursue that further, there again, they can find you through your site or...
Stephen at familygram.com, that's the best place because the site is not up yet.
It's not up yet, but they can, once again, Stephen at familyground.com. If you would like to email more about what's happening with these life lesson programs, and I think, you know, when you're talking about this, Stephen, I think there's a lot of people who are listening who can have experience in some way, have experienced what you're talking about and want to know more. And I think, you know, what you've been talking about I've never heard it put quite this way. And I find it very intriguing. And I'm sure a lot of people who are listening and are looking for this kind of direction, it sounds that this is something that... Well, I can tell by your passion and what you're talking about when you're describing this program that it's made a difference in your life, and you can, as you said, you can guarantee that this is going to make a difference for anyone who would like to and make changes in their lives. And again, they have to want to.
Stephen just did the questionnaire, and the questionnaire itself, I experienced quite a shift in consciousness just through the preliminary answering of the questions. So I am interested in pursuing this further. It is, as you say, I can almost sense too, it is life-altering to look into this further for anybody that wants to change their life. And well, I thank you very much for bringing that up. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think we're coming...
Well, we're getting fairly close to the end. And Stephen, I'd like to thank you for being on Dream Path. You certainly enlightened our show with your wisdom and Wisdom in the Family. Your new book is coming out in 3 to 4 weeks. And, of course, if anyone's interested in your earlier writing, the Family Wisdom, I'm sorry. There is no magic. Once again, just for everyone, if you'd like to get in touch with Stephen, you can do so at www.allaboutyourchildren.com and or email Stephen, with a PH, at familyground.com. You said a lot of things tonight that really touched my heart, Stephen. This is what makes doing this kind of show so rewarding. Thank you very much for that. You're making a difference right now. I wish you all the best in your endeavors, and we'll be following what you're doing in the near future as well. Keep us posted.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being able that you allowed me to be able to speak about all this stuff.
Okay. We just love the transformation as it's happening. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is Dream Path, BBS Radio Late Night Talk. I'm DJ. My co-host has been Jarrah, and I'd like to play a song for you as we're closing down this part, our fifth show. And the name of the song is Dream Mountain. And Michelle, take it away.